Here we are, Heavenly Father. These are your children, the children you have rescued. And we come now boldly into your presence, Lord, because you said, come boldly to the throne of grace. You will find mercy, and you will find grace. You will find pardon, and you will find favor. And Lord, we love walking in the favor that you give us. So here we are. We pray, O Lord, you be glorified in your house. As we sing songs of praise, I pray, Lord, you will be glorified, that you will inhabit the praise of your people. You will be blessed by us, because we can bless you by singing songs of praise. So let us sing loud and lovingly, and we pray. Pour your spirit upon this place. Cleanse us each one. Let no unclean thing even draw nigh to this place now, and you be glorified in your house. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. I'm going to tell you the truth. I've been blessed already to be here this morning. You are real. This is real here. God bless you. This is a beautiful thing. I'm moved. I'm impressed. God bless you all. This is beautiful. The title of my message this morning is God Can Use You. God can use you. Turn with me, if you would, if you have your scriptures with you, to Acts chapter 23, the book of Acts in the New Testament, chapter 23. We're going to start reading in verse 12. Acts 23, starting in verse 12, we're going to read a few verses there. And we're going to consider God's word and what God has laid on my heart. Pastor Randy had said, whatever God lays on your heart, a message that he lays on your heart, that's what I want to hear. And plus, Gideon's message. So it's going to be incorporated in there. You'll see God showed me, I think, what he wanted me to tell you, speak today. I pray that it's not my words, God's words, yes, that we're going to do today. Yes, Acts 23, starting in verse 12, it reads, when it was day, the Jews formed a conspiracy, and they bound themselves under an oath, saying that they would neither eat nor drink until they had killed Paul. There were more than 40 who formed this plot. They came to the chief priests and the elders, and they said, we have bound ourselves under a solemn oath to taste nothing until we have killed Paul. Now therefore, you and the council notify the commander to bring him down to you, as though you were going to determine his case by a more thorough investigation. And we, for our part, we are ready to slay him before he comes near the place. But the son of Paul's sister heard of their ambush. And he came and he entered the barracks. And he told Paul. And Paul called one of the centurions to him and he said, lead this young man to the commander, for he has something to report to him. So he took him and he led him to the commander, and he said, Paul the prisoner called me to him and asked me to lead this young man to you. He has something to tell you. And the commander took that young man, that boy, by the hand, and stepping aside, he began to inquire of him privately, what is it that you have to report to me? And the young man said, the Jews have agreed to ask you to bring Paul down tomorrow to the council, as though they were going to inquire somewhat more thoroughly about him. Do not listen to them. More than 40 of them are lying in wait for him, who have bound themselves under a curse not to eat or drink until they slay him. And now they are ready and waiting for the promise from you. So the commander let the young man go, instructing him, tell no one that you have notified me of these things. And the commander called to him two of the centurions, and he said, get 200 soldiers ready by the third hour, by 9 o'clock tonight, to proceed to Caesarea with 70 horsemen and 200 spearmen. And they were also to provide mounts to put Paul on and to bring him safely to Felix, the governor. Father, thank you for the words that you have preserved over the years, over the century. You've preserved these words for us so that we can consider them even today, right here, with you in our midst, of this body of believers here today, Father. So thank you for that. Lord God, help us to learn from your word what you would have us to take from it. Thank you. We love you and praise you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I want to tell you that you are important to God. But many of us as believers so often say, who am I? What can I do? What good could I do? I don't know the word well enough, and I can't really witness. I can't. And we feel, and it's common. It's the vast majority of believers are that way. I don't know if that's the vast majority of believers right here in this room, because I've already sensed that. I'm telling you, this place is different. Now, praise God for you. But Christians, I'm telling you, so many people are just inactive, and they say, oh, God can't use me. What can I do? What can I do? Who am I? I'm nobody special. But think about this for a minute. God used a young boy here. And you know what? I got to thinking about it. I've never heard a message preached about that young man. You? I don't know if I've ever heard a message preached about him. In fact, there's something about him. It doesn't even give his name. We know it's his nephew. It's his sister's son, so that's his nephew, isn't it? It doesn't say much about him. This is the only time it appears in Scripture. And think about what that young boy did. Think about how God used him. He was just young kid. And how do we know he was just young? Well, think about this a minute. Let's think of the background, first of all, to the Scripture, just for a second, that Paul had spoken, and Paul had everybody in a big turmoil. They're about ready to kill him. And so the Roman army had figured out what was going on, and they'd taken him and brought him into the barracks, put him in jail, but where they had him was in their barracks. And that's where they were keeping him. And he, from the couple chapters before this, and it looked like he was going to be killed, so they rescued him in the nick of time, brought him into the barracks, and the next day they took him down to the Sanhedrin, to the council. And Paul, in his wisdom, got those people all stirred up against each other, the council fighting against each other. It was a turmoil again, and the commander saw that, and he says, get him out of here, get him back to the barracks. Yep. They were going to kill Paul even right then. He's afraid they were going to be... And so what happened? Here he is in the barracks in jail. He couldn't go anywhere. And you're not going to get into that barracks. And the Jews that were so mad at him formed a plot. And that's where it says they weren't letting anybody know. But somebody knew. How did he know? How did he know? They didn't pay attention to him. He's just a little boy. Who is he? He's inconsequential. Think about that. If God could use that little boy, he can use you. Think about that young boy. I'm having a hunch. Now, before service started this morning, I met Talon. And I was thinking, it's about Talon's age, but I think this young man sitting right here in the Minecraft, and I didn't catch your name. What's your name, young man? Pardon? Mason. I bet he might be about Mason's age. I don't know. It doesn't give an age here. But I'm looking at Mason, I'm thinking, that's who God used. Because not only did the Jews not pay attention to him, but he walked right into the barracks. Now, if you could walk right into the barracks, the Jews would have done that, wouldn't they? They'd have walked right in and they'd have just executed Paul right there. They couldn't go in there. You're not getting by that Roman army. That'd be a suicide mission for sure. That wasn't going to happen. But a young boy, they didn't pay him any attention. He walked right in. And then it says that the commander, when he talked to him, he took him by the hand. Now, I don't think that's an 18-year-old young man. Do you think it was? No, I don't think so. It had to be a young man. He kind of took him by the hand and pulled him aside. This is a young boy. We don't know the age, but I'm thinking maybe Mason's age, Talon's age, someplace in that range. And God used him. Think about that. After this happened, Paul wrote a big part of what is now the New Testament. If he had been killed, if they had done just what they said, we wouldn't have had it. Now, God wasn't going to let that happen. God was going to take care of that situation one way or another. But you know what he did? He used a young boy. He used a young man to make a difference. And that his nephew could have said, you know, who am I? I'm just a young boy. I don't know anything. I heard what those guys are going to do, but Poor old Uncle Paul. I don't know what's going to happen to him, but it's nothing I can do. But he didn't. He knew something. God put him at the right place at the right time and gave him the ability to make a difference. And that young man acted on it. He took action. He did what God called him to do. How about us? Do we look for opportunities, and do we take advantage of those opportunities when we have them? And I can tell you, there's many, many times in my life when I walked away from a situation, I thought, I blew it. We've been there and done that, haven't we? Yeah. Amen. I was an opportunity, and I passed it up, and I missed the chance to make a difference. But I've learned that when you ask God for an opportunity, and then, Lord, help me to recognize that opportunity, and then help me to take action on it, it's incredible what will happen. It's incredible how God will use you, every one of us. We don't have to be anybody special.
We are.
Every one of us. We're nothing out of the ordinary, but we are special. Thank you, Pastor Randy. Every single one is somebody special in God's eyes. That's exactly the point. Every one of us can be used in amazing and powerful ways, and our actions are so much more important than we ever think.
Amen to that.
Sometimes it can start with something as simple as a smile or a kind word to somebody. We don't know what somebody's going through. Sometimes a kind word can change somebody's life. It may change them from death to life. Did you know that Proverbs 25:11 says, like apples of gold in settings of silver is a word spoken in right circumstances. Like apples of gold in settings of silver. Amen. It's a right word, as a word spoken, a kind word spoken in right circumstances. We don't know what somebody's going through, and we meet them. And we can meet them, somebody that's rude with a harsh word, or we can come back and show them love and kindness and give them another chance, even if they said something to us when we wore a t-shirt into the service station. You know that? That's right.
Amen.
And it doesn't matter who we are, because you can keep on going back and wearing another t-shirt and make a difference in somebody's life. I'm telling you, that's what it is. That's what we're talking about here today. We don't know what somebody needs, and we don't know what a kind gesture might do. It might change somebody's life forever. And I want to tell you, when God puts something on your heart, we need to do it. If God puts it on your heart, and I can think, God puts somebody on your heart sometime, maybe it's somebody you haven't heard from or thought of for a long time, pick that phone up and call them. God may be telling you. I could tell you story after story, and I'm just going to interject two very quick ones. Is the one time when my wife called a young lady, and that next Sunday at church, that woman's husband came up to me and he says, God bless you. He says, you don't know what to do. He says, that day my wife was in such depression, such sorrow, and she didn't know. And I was just praying, God, please today have somebody call her. And Renette called her. And she had never called her before, ever. But God put it on her heart. And one time, just a couple years ago here, we had just moved from Billings to Douglas, Wyoming, where we live, but Renette's mother was in hospice care. She lived in Montrose, Colorado, and we were down there with her. She was in-house in hospice care, and we were there with her for the last couple of months of her life, and we knew it was inevitable. But it was forthcoming, and she passed away, and it was about 7 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday, and Renette and myself and her aunt and uncle, so my mother-in-law's sister and her husband from Oregon were there, the four of us in the house. And so it was my responsibility. I confirmed that she'd passed away, and I had to call the hospice people to come in and everything. And there we sat in the living room, and everybody was sniffling a little bit and tears. And it was 5 minutes after this happened, my phone rang. And I thought, who's calling me on a Saturday morning at 7 o'clock in the morning? And it was a dear brother, dear Christian brother from Lewistown, Montana, called me up, and he says, his name's Danny. He says, John, I said, Danny, what you doing? He says, I don't know what you're doing. I don't know what's going on, but God just put it on my heart to call you, and I tell you, it's going to be okay. You're going to be all right. He didn't even know where we were. He didn't know what we were doing. He didn't know what's going on, but God put it on his heart. He called. What a difference that made. You can make a difference when God puts something on your heart. Let's think back of this situation. This young man, God put it on his heart, and he did what he was called to do. Just a few hundred years before that, there was another man. Again, we're all somebody special, but this guy wasn't any royalty or wasn't anybody fancy or impressive. He said, I'm just an ordinary, everyday man. His name was Gideon. His name was Gideon. We already said, you already know the story. That what happened is the Midianites were just wreaking havoc on the people of Israel at the time, on the Israelites, and they were in subjection, and they were just being, it was terrible, and they were about to be wiped out, it looked like. And God came, sent an angel and spoke to Gideon. And Gideon says, who am I? I'm just an everyday average family here, and besides that, I'm the youngest in the family. I'm nobody special. He says, but I'm going to use you because you are obedient. And using him with only 300 people, to make a long story short, tens of thousands of Midianites were wiped out the terror and reign of the Midianites over the people of Israel ended because Gideon was faithful to the call and did what he was called to do. God called him to something, and he did it. Now we can think of more recent times. And this might seem like a long time ago. It would to a lot of you. The late 1800s, 1898. I'll just tell you this, all four of my grandparents were already well alive by then. But anyway, that shows how old I'm getting, maybe. I don't know. But 1898, there was two traveling businessmen. And they were me. And they, you know, things worked a little differently in hotels back in those days. They did. They'd rent a place by the bed. And so this fellow went to check into he was a traveling businessman, and he checked in the hotel, and they said, we got one bed left. There's two beds in that room. There's already a fellow in there, but you can go be in the same room with him. That's how they did it back then. We kind of think of that as odd now, but that's how it was. So he went in there, and so both of them were in the same room. And it got to be, you know, it was about time for bed. And the one fellow says, you know, I don't want to offend you or anything, but he says, before I go to bed every night, I do a little devotional. And I read the Word. I read God's Word. And I pray, and I take some time with God. And the other man says, well, then you're a believer. He says, I do the same thing. And they met. And those two men formed a bond, a union. And they formed an accountability partnership. This because of traveling on the road in those days, it was treacherous. And I mean, you can know how it is. Anytime you're on the road, it can be treacherous when you have a job that's far away, and there's some of you right here know what I'm talking about, and you're on the road. But they said, we need to keep each other accountable, away from all the sin that we can encounter on the road, being single, you know, away from our families and our wives and everything. And pretty soon, within a year, they kept meeting, and within a year, they formed an organization. That organization today is called the Gideon's International. And that's where the organization started, is an accountability between these men. And you know what? These two guys, again, we're all somebody special, but they weren't any fancy, high-dollar, highfalutin royalty. They were just everyday people like you and me. And they said, let's do something. And it turned into an organization that now is called the Gideon's International. We are an organization of professional and businessmen and our wives with one stated purpose, and that's to see men and women, boys and girls, come to Jesus, the Messiah, come to salvation. We don't save anybody, but we witness to them, personal witnessing and prayer. That's how it started off. In fact, it didn't. They were 9 years into it, 10 years into it. I'll get the numbers wrong. Anyway, about that, before they ever distributed the first Bible. Didn't even give Bibles out. That was later on. They would just keep each other accountable and witness to one another and to other people that they came across. Today, we place God's Word, the Scripture, the Bible, or portions thereof in what we call the traffic lanes of life so that people can find salvation through God's Word. And the traffic lanes of life include places like prisons and jails, schools and universities, hospitals, other medical facilities. And of course, we're most well known for placing our hotel Bible in motel rooms and hotel rooms all over the world. We put them all over, and we still do. There's a few now that reject, but most of them still let us in. Praise God. We have over 250,000 members of our organization in 199 different countries or territories around the world. And the scriptures that we distribute are printed in 110 languages. Since our beginning, we have distributed over 2,656,000,000 copies of God's Word. That's such a big number, I gotta think about that. 2,656,000,000. And if I give a talk next week, I'm gonna change that. I gotta change the number, because every week on average, we give out more than 1,000,000 copies every week on average. As Gideons, we have a goal to try and witness to people. And it's always been my practice to try and follow after the example of that of Paul's nephew, to make a difference in wherever I go. So I ask the Lord, as Gideons, as most of us do, provide me an opportunity. Help me to recognize that opportunity. And then, Lord, give me the courage to act upon that opportunity once you've given it to me. And you all can do the same thing. You don't have to be a Gideons to do that. You're doing it already. You're doing it already in a multitude of ways. Praise God. There are so many times in this ministry that God has answered that prayer for me. I can tell you that one time I was just the everyday things of everyday life. I was driving down to, I was up in the National Forest in Wyoming and out Elkutton one day, and driving on a little Forest Service two-track, four-wheel drive trail and coming along the mountainside, and there was a pickup just ahead of me. And that poor fella, he was not having fun. He had a flat tire and it was pretty steep. And I tell you what, when I got there, he was not in a good mood. And so I said, here, let me give you a hand. And I had three things that he didn't have. I had a little bit better jack. I had a hydraulic jack. And I had a shovel. He didn't have a shovel, but I was going to shovel in the back of my pickup. So I had a shovel, which was important to cut, because we were on such a steep. Every time he'd get it jacked up, it would fall off the jack. And he just kept doing that. And he'd work down. So I said, hey, let's. The other thing I had that was far more important, I had a new attitude. Different. His attitude was about gone. Let's just say that in a short time, we had his tire changed. And there on that mountainside, I got to witness and tell that man about Jesus. Because it was an opportunity. I said, Lord, that's an opportunity. And I just suddenly remembered that. And I got to tell that man by providing a little pocket testament to him that day. And you know, I knew that God had answered my prayer one more time. And in Acts 1, verse 8, it says that you will be my witnesses clear to the uttermost parts of the earth. And I always thought that was somewhere in Africa, but it might have been on that hillside in the mountainside in Wyoming. I don't know. That's what I'm kind of thinking. I can tell you so many stories, and I don't want to take a long time, but except to say that God works in incredible ways. One day, my wife, Renette, and I walked out of a little bank. Little branch bank. As we walked out, there was a woman on the phone. You could tell she's having a terrible day. She was distraught. And we looked. Guess what? There's another flat tire. There she was. She had an old model pickup truck, and she didn't have tools or anything. Anyway, Renette kind of winked at me and smiled. And so let's just say about 5 minutes later, I had her tire changed. And as I gathered up my tools, Renette had brought this over to me out of the pickup. And I presented this and shared Jesus with that woman right there in that parking lot. And she hadn't said much of anything till then, and that's when she said something. She says, I wasn't going to say a word. She says, but yesterday, I just got out of prison. She says, there was a women's prison there in Billings where this happened. She said, my life has been a mess. My life has been a mess. And for the last 2 years that I've been in prison, I just started reading the Bible because there was a Bible that Gideon's had placed in that prison. She says, but they went to release me yesterday and they wouldn't let me take the Bible with me. I had to leave it in the prison. She says, I don't know anything about how. Where do you get a Bible? I don't even know where to buy one or how to do it. I don't know anything about it. She says, now I've got a Bible. Thank you. And she cared way more about getting this than she did me changing her tire. I'm telling you the truth. She did. And I knew that once again, God had answered my prayer. And just as He will answer yours to use you, He gave me an opportunity. Somehow, I recognized it and was able to act upon it. One more time. So I'm looking out for flat tires, and I've seen other car crashes alongside the road and different things like that, and I've stopped and been able to help. First you help people, and then with the right opportunity, I've been able to witness and provide this in many situations, broken down vehicles and all kinds of things. It's just God answers our prayer and puts us in the right place at the right time. I remember one time going down the road, and I needed gas, and I knew there was a gas station down here, but suddenly I thought, I'm going to pull off here because there's a station there, and I hadn't been there. But I just felt a real urge to go in there, and I pulled into that gas station. And I know more than was starting to fuel up, and somebody came around the corner of that gas pump and said, sir, our car just got rejected. It was a woman's, and her husband was sitting in the pickup. He was a little proud to come out and that, but he says, our credit card doesn't work. We really need some fuel. And so I was able to help her out with a little bit of gasoline for their vehicle, and I was able to, and I knew then why God had told me to stop at that gas pump at that time for that purpose, to meet that woman, to give testaments to her and her husband. I just said, thank you, God, once again, just like Paul's nephew. He had used me for that opportunity. And I'm just one more quick story, and I've been going way too long already, but you know what? On Saturday mornings for the Gideons International, we have a meeting. The local Gideons have meetings where we get together, and most places it's at 7 a.m. on a Saturday morning. That's the Gideon time that we have prayer meetings. And we'll have a breakfast afterwards. But one day, at the end of that meeting, we pray for churches, and we pray for pastors. I know that the Gideons here in town, because they told me, they're praying for this church on a regular basis. They're praying for all of you, and they're praying for Pastor Randy, and they're praying for you, Julia, on a regular basis. We pray for you. We were doing that at our local camp up there one time, and we got done. A few of us were sitting around telling some of these stories about what we had done. There's four or five of us, and about opportunities to distribute God's word. And I reached in my coat pocket, and I pulled one out, and I said, because I didn't even know what was in there. See, it was just gotten cold. This was in November. And I just dug a coat out early that morning because I thought, it's cold out today. I got that old heavy coat out, and that one I brought out, there was one when I got the box of Bibles, I would check them, and this one, the cover was upside down and backwards, so you had to turn it around backwards to read it, and it was a mess. And so I said, I'd never give that to anybody, so I had been using it for my own use. And the thing was all dog-eared and beat up and just tattered and torn. Look, it was terrible. And so I pulled that out and showed the guys, and they, of course, poked one at me and laughed. We all got a big chuckle together, and we could never give that to anybody. But I says, good thing is, out in my pickup, I got a whole bunch more brand new ones. And so as soon as I get done, I'm going down there and put new ones in my pocket. So as soon as we were done, November, I know it was in November because it was my wife's birthday was coming up in a couple of days. And so I stopped by Walmart on the way home. Now, the only bad thing is I always park way out at the end. I always do. It's a habit. And I went in that card aisle, and I'm looking at cards and trying to pick the right one. And it's so hard, you know. There was a woman there, and she was looking at cards and going, and I said to her, sometimes it's so hard to just get the right card, isn't it? And she says, you know, it is. And next thing you know, we're talking about it. And I says, well, I'm buying one for my wife. It's her birthday. And she says, oh, how beautiful. She says, I'm getting one for my mother. And she was just a few years younger than I was. But she said, and the more we talked, she started telling me a little bit about her life. And she said, I was in foster care. She says, I was orphaned and I was just wasn't wanted and one thing and not had a hard life. But it was my foster, and she was in a foster home, and she said, this woman adopted me. And she is the most loving, kind-hearted woman I ever, and she means so much to me. And I got to get the right card. And anyway, just tell me her story. She's had a hard life, and she said that she's been there for me all the way through. And suddenly, it's like, this is an opportunity again. I suddenly realized it, and I said, okay, I'm glad I put that new one in. I didn't put a new one in my pocket. Oh, no. I did. All I had was that old beat up thing. I said, nope, I'm not going to do it. Sorry, Lord, I'm not going to do it. I'm still trying to listen to what she's telling me. But I said, sorry, Lord, I can't give that away. It's embarrassing. So I listened a little more. Finally, my hand went in there again. And I said, finally, I had an idea. I said, ma'am, I am terribly embarrassed here today. Because normally I give these out, but this is all beat up, and I started to show it to her, but I says, if you get, because I knew it would take me too long. I was clear out the end of the parking lot. I says, if you wouldn't mind waiting about 10 minutes, I'm going to go clear out there and get you a brand new one. But I presented that to her, and I got to tell her that God loved her more than I could tell her. And she was special. She was special in His sight. And He just wanted to have a relationship with her, and that's what this tells you, how to start doing that. And she became emotional, and I said, I'm going to go get you brand new. And she said, no, no. She said, I'm going to tell you something. That thing, number one, the fact that you've been used and it's a personal thing to you and means something to you, that means a lot to me that you would be willing to part with something that's yours. She said, but furthermore, that it's upside down and backwards. She says, that's a picture of my life. She says, I'm telling you something. She says, that one was made for me. And I knew that once again, when John fails, when I mess up, God still uses it. And God can use you. God can use you in ways that you don't even know. We just need to trust Him, and He will use us. How can we make a difference? First of all, we can just, that very thing, pray for opportunities, look for them, and act upon them. And what else? Sometimes that'll give us an opportunity to witness. We ask today that you would pray for the ministry of the Gideons International. We could run into different things. I'm knowing my brother Kevin runs into some things with what he does. Some legal issues, we can already see that. But we run into some too. So we appreciate prayers for the Gideons. And we need members, professional and businessmen. What does that mean? We'd be love to tell you what that means at the end. If you want to talk to Gary or myself, we'd tell you all about the qualification, what it would take. If God's calling you to be a member of this organization, we might have a place for you. We always have a financial need. One of the reasons I first became a member of the Gideons International was when I realized that when we come into it, that when somebody contributes to our ministry, that goes straight into Scriptures. Not just the printing, but the printing, distribution, and if there's any tariff fees or anything like that, shipping, it places them. But it doesn't cover any donations that come into our ministry. It does not go to overhead, ministry overhead of salaries and organization. That's paid for by the members ourselves. Donations go straight to Scriptures. And when I realized that, I says, I think that's what the organization I could be a member of. What I didn't realize is the only other place we get funds is from our members or from when we visit churches. So God bless you. You have been a huge supporter of our ministry for years. Thank you, and God bless you for that. And thank you for who you are and what you do, and we appreciate it. And we know that you continue to support our ministry. For less than a dollar and a half, we can place a pocket testament in some place, and for about $5, we can put a hotel Bible in a motel or hotel room anywhere, wherever it might be. We also have, part of our ministry is the Gideon cards. You have a display right in the back of the room there, and sometimes we don't do a very good job of talking about that, but those are free. They're no charge. You don't have to get permission. You don't have to get anything. If there's cards back there, take them and use them. There's no obligation. You have an option when you use them that you can contribute a Bible in somebody's name and send a donation to the ministry. You don't have to. You could do it without doing that. They're free. Use them. We encourage you to use those cards. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, it says, you are a chosen race. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation, a people of God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. In other words, so that you can give your testimony of your life, of what you're doing. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Father, thank you for this body of believers here today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the example of Paul's nephew, that young boy that was used of you that made a difference. Lord, I pray that you'd help each one of us to realize that you can use us too, that we can make a difference, even sometimes in small and tiny ways that might be a huge thing. It might be small and tiny in our sight, but it's huge in somebody else's sight. We love you, Lord. We thank you. I want to thank you for this body of believers, for this opportunity today. God bless each one, Father. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Pastor Randy, thank you for allowing us to be here. Thank you all. God bless you.